You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Welcome to Hinkle Fieldhouse for the 12th episode of the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball. Gentlemen, we had a long break, but it is good to be back and in the greatest place on earth, no less than that.
The mecca of basketball. This
past week, though, wasn't really the greatest place for Butler.
No.
Probably the worst loss this season, St. John's. Super athletic. Jakar Sampson looked like a grown man. We were sitting there just... It was stay positive night, but there was really nothing to be positive about it.
Except for the money we raised.
That was great. Marco, analysis of St. John's.
They just did whatever they really wanted to. I mean, they were so athletic. They would beat our guards to the lane when we would collapse. They would just kick it out. There's nothing really we could do because they were just hitting everything from the mid-range. If we jumped on the mid-range, they would just take it to the hole every time.
Yeah. Kevin, that's pretty much sums it up.
Athleticism kills us. It's killed us all year. Yeah. I mean, Kellen only got 10 shots off. Kellen's averaging 17 shots a game in Big East play. He's got to be able to get the ball at the rim in order to score. I mean, that's just common sense. And being our leading scorer, we need better production out of him in games like that. I know he's getting double teamed, but then maybe look to kicker and somebody else has got to step up.
Coming off that horrific game against St. John's, we actually went on the road to Seton Hall. Not only did we win, we got a Big East road win.
Yeah.
Hey, Butler's working.
First time for everything.
So that might have been our best game of the year, I was actually thinking, Kevin. What did you think?
We had four guys in double digits, very well spread out in terms of scoring. We out-rebounded Seton Hall, which happens very little this season as well. And like I said earlier in the year, I didn't think we really had the seniors on the team, the experience in the coaching to really be able to win on the road. That's not a diss to Eric or Kyle, but we're just short in the senior class. And
short.
Yeah.
It's really nice knowing that we were able to come home with one because that's an opportunity to build.
And then we played Marquette. I thought we were going to get some momentum going into this game. 20 turnovers. Let me repeat that in case there was a glitch. 20 turnovers.
That's a lot.
What went right with this game? Anything?
Nolan Berry.
Okay, he had two wide open layups. Good for him.
My thing about it is he was hot. He was playing well. He only played 2 minutes, but in 2 minutes, he actually impacted the game in a positive way.
Okay.
Something he hasn't done really all year in any game that had any competition.
And doesn't really get the time to.
Exactly. So you're struggling as a team. Why not keep him in the game?
Because he can't play defense.
What do you have to lose? If he gives you 7 points and only gives up three or four, I will take that all the time from him. And then once he starts to miss and he becomes ineffective, pull him right back out. But that's an opportunity to get some of your starters rest and maybe see if a guy can compete.
That is actually what one of our points is today. We just lost to Georgetown a couple hours ago.
Yep.
When does it become the point where we kind of throw the season away and start trying to develop these players? Start playing Nolan a lot. Start playing Renee at all, who hasn't played since NJIT pretty
much.
Start
playing Devontae.
Yes. Like, start developing guys for next year. This season, is it a bust? Do we start for the future? Marco.
To be honest, we're not completely out of it. We could get a good draw in the Big East tournament if we get a couple more wins. We get a couple more wins, we're not that far out of the pack. We're only 1-2 games out from being in the middle of the Big East, where some of us thought we might be during this time of year in the middle of the Big East. Maybe, hopefully, with a couple more wins, but that hasn't happened.
Kevin.
I think the next time you lose, you're out of the NCAA tournament.
For sure.
No matter what, unless you win the Big East tournament.
Yeah.
Because you have to get 20 wins. If we win our next 7 games somehow, then we will be at 19 going into the Big East tournament, and we'll have a shot at it. But once you lose that next game, I do think we'll beat Xavier at home, but then we run into Creighton. That'll be very tough. Then you start looking at putting other guys in. At that point, you're playing maybe for an NIT bid, but
maybe.
But this is Butler. The expectation's to win. If you're not going to the Big East tournament, then set yourself up to go deep in the NCAA tournament in years to come.
All right. We discussed kind of, preparing for the future. The future might be right now. Over this break, Andrew Schravis moved into the starting lineup.
Huge fan.
Averaging 15 points, 2.7 rebounds a game since moving into the starting lineup. Had 24 against Georgetown. Are you kidding me?
You cannot waste a performance by Andrew that has 24 points a game, or 24 points today, and 9 of 13 shooting. Very efficient, very effective. somebody else has got to step up and use that victory.
You know, I did love Sam. I've been begging him. I've been begging him since that when we played Manchester, shoot the three ball. The kid's got a stroke, and we saw it. I mean, it was a wide open three in the Georgetown game, but he took it and he stroked it. He can do those type
of things. What I love about his game is he's the only player who has post moves on our team.
Yeah.
Literally the only player who has post moves.
They're
and
nice
his position
post
down low is so outstanding. He's always moving, reposting, getting better position. Nobody else on our team can do that. And also, his fundamentals are outstanding. Kevin mentioned a couple weeks ago, which was an incredible point. No one on our team knows how to box out.
No.
Watching the games, he's absolutely right.
You saw twice today. Cam knocked the ball out of Kyle's hands and went in the basket for the other team.
Travis is undersized, but his positioning is so outstanding that he can get rebounds over these guys.
Fundamentals and effort will get you every rebound. I think he could do more on the glass.
Yeah,
two
I agree.
Rebounds a game as a starter is not good enough. But at the same time, his impact has been so much more positive than it has been negative. Can you really take him out of that spot? I honestly would like to see Cam lose a couple minutes and put Fromm back in there, because at least Fromm, you know, is going to get you a couple rebounds. He's going to play a lot better defense. Cam's getting beat now. He's turning the ball over every time he touches it. He can't dribble.
Yeah.
He's just looking more frustrated.
His offensive game is starting to remind me of the opposite of Elijah. Elijah comes in, if he's hot on offense, great. If he's not, then he's ineffective. Well, if Cam's not playing unbelievable defense, then why keep him out there?
Speaking of Fromm, you know, what is Fromm moving to the bench? Does that help our team in any way, you think, DeMarco?
I don't think it'll help our team that much this year, except that Travis is getting more time. And I mean, they're building for the future. I mean, Fromm, I mean, coming off the bench, he's getting rebounds. He's still playing a good amount of role time, but I don't know how much it'll actually help us this year.
I don't like it so much.
Fromm is so undervalued, though.
Fromm is undervalued, and he's done so much for this program.
It's the little things.
Being an ambassador for it in terms of being on Big East Media Day and being the first guy to really break out about the news of Brad leaving. I mean, there's a reason Brad trusted the kid with telling him first.
Yeah.
I would like to see him out there more, because he didn't play poor enough to lose his spot. He just didn't play any better than he was playing. But if you're going to be consistent, I'd rather have that at this point than Cam Woods, who had a great first half of the season and just has been awful the last couple of weeks. You know, take Cam's minutes away, you know, cut a little bit off, add Fromm on there for a little bit more, and you're in a lot better position, I think, to win a lot of these games.
So Matt and I were talking, our producer Matt, before the show, and we wanted to play the blame game. And we're obviously not going to blame anyone for this season, but if we had to pick one thing, I'm going to give you guys three choices. Is it A, our lack of athleticism, B, our lack of depth, or C, lack of coaching experience? And you cannot say all of the above. You have to pick one. What is the problem with this season?
I want to go with lack of athleticism. I feel like that if we were as athletic, we could stay in front of these teams a little bit more, be able to push the ball a little bit more. I think the athleticism is where it really hurts. The coaching thing, we can't do that much about. He's just going to have to grow in the next few years.
Kevin, you agree?
I think it's coaching. I think you have to look at coaching first. And the inexperience is costing us. How many games have we really been out of this year?
One.
That's why you can't play these young guys, because you're in every game. But if you can't finish, that is on the coaching staff for either not doing enough in terms of situational practice during, you know, their time in here during the week, or that means that you're not making the correct substitutions or calling the right timeouts or drawing up the right plays to win games when it comes down to the last couple minutes.
Here's what I honestly think.
And I want to bring up one specific point, because I was watching this game with a couple friends, and the Marquette game. We were up, I want to say, 4, and neither team had scored in a long time.
Yeah.
And he brings Elijah off the bench. This is with maybe 4.5 minutes to go. And I looked at my friends and I said, that is a terrible move, because Elijah's not going to help you on defense.
Yeah, you tweeted that.
And
too.
He's cooled off on offense. And he gave up 2 straight layups. Marquette went on a run at home and we got beat. That was a time where I thought that Coach Miller needs to look at the situation and the game as it's occurring to him, you know, as it's coming to him, instead of, okay, Elijah had a good first half because he hadn't made anything in the second half, and go, maybe I don't bring him in, because just because our offense is stagnant, so is Marquette's defense is going to win this game.
I know he's not going to admit it this year, but I think Brandon Miller, next season when he's asked about his first year, he's going to say it was a learning experience. I had a lot of learning to do on the job, and that cost our team. There's no chance he'll admit it this year, but I think, you know, it's not a bad thing to say that, but I think it's true that he is learning. You have to remember, this is his first year. He's been head coach for, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
obviously he's a rookie.
The drawing up thing, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, for all we know, in those huddles, he could be drawing up magic, and maybe it's just our players not executing.
Well, Cam dropped one out of bounds today that looked like a good play. He's gotten a lot better progressively throughout the season. He's very strong as a game planner. They've always had a good game plan against other teams, and I think that he's found a way to effectively make Kellen a scorer. I think that's a benefit. But there are other places where he's going to have to get better, and his coaching staff's going to have to get better in terms of player development and then getting players to run plays the right way. We do have to remember that he came in with a late start.
Very late.
It wasn't like he was, you know, Coach Stevens was fired at the end of last year, and he had all offseason to recruit and then come up with a game plan to fit his players. He hadn't really seen him play because he wasn't here. He got here in the summer. It was just a completely different situation.
Just got thrusted on him.
While it's not, you know, all his fault that we're struggling this year, you do have to look at the coaching because they're the guy who runs the team. The coach is in charge of the team, and wins and losses start with him.
Yes, they do. Now, let's talk about Elijah Brown. You mentioned him. He's, you know, he's hit or miss, as usual. But there's one thing I found interesting. On the internet recently, there's some rumor going around that, like, Elijah's going to transfer after this year.
I disagree.
No, he's not, okay? No. Oh, let me say that. I would be highly shocked if he did. 100% shocked if he did. I just think that's a silly rumor. I kind of wanted to put it to bed. We haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard anything of that. I couldn't really see it happening. I mean, Elijah's a young player. It seems he got a lot of minutes early in his freshman year.
He
likes it here. He's just going to get more time to develop. I couldn't really see him leaving.
He's already got a big part in the offense, and he's an offensive player. And you're playing in a major conference. I mean, he wasn't really getting recruited by big-time schools. You could make a name for yourself and take the next step to the pros if you do well in this conference. You can't do it if you're in the Valley.
Now, speaking of recruiting, I have to mention this. Keylon Martin is absolutely torching in high school this year. He is so good. I'm pumped for him to get here. 21 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals a game. He is an elite offensive player. Roosevelt Jones with a jump shot. Exactly. And when I compare someone to someone, I know what I'm talking about, a.k.a. Andrew Schrabbis as Matt Howard 2.0.
Now, I still completely disagree. He's not Matt Howard. They're different players completely.
You know, you're wrong. Okay, that's the truth. Anyway, Keylon Martin. Some are saying he's a top 50 player in the country.
And some are saying he's dropped out of the top 100, which is ridiculous.
Yes, it is ridiculous. But I just had to bring that up. Kevin, Stats with Shuo, please.
All right, here's something you probably didn't know.
Oh, God.
The team this year, including the Georgetown game today, has scored 1,631 points.
Okay.
Kellen and Kyle have combined for 752 of those. That's 46% of all of the points we're scoring. Where is everybody else?
Yeah, that's bad.
Where? And most of that point differential was probably made up in the Manchester game. Because they didn't play. I mean, I know Kellen, what, he had like 30 that game, I think. But he didn't play the entire second half. He could have gone for 75.
That's an astounding stat. I'm curious.
Also,
curious.
Another stat, because I'm not done with stats for Schwo yet.
Right.
Kellen Dunham's only broken 40% shooting from the field one time in Big East play.
He's shooting 36%.
Now, I know he has to take a lot more shots. He had to force a couple at the end of the shot clock today, stuff like that. But that tells me the offense is not working the way it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be open. If he's open, I'm confident he's going to hit 90% of the shots he puts up. So that number's only going to go up if we set better picks for him, if he's more effective with the ball, if he's got better ball handling, if he's getting to the basket and making layups. He's forcing a lot of things in these last couple games because we've gone on these awful scoring droughts. He's got to be better.
I'll say this about Kellen. He's getting some breaks in the past three games. He's only averaging 34 minutes. I say only 34 minutes.
Yeah, only.
But, you know, compared to Barlow, who's actually averaging 40, 34 for Kellen is a huge drop.
Right.
For Barlow falling out?
I don't know, but P-Man must be watching the Hoopcast because we said, give Kellen some rest time, and he's doing it.
A little bit of rest.
If I had to criticize Kellen, it would be that he works too hard all the time.
That's not a criticism.
Hold on. The reason I say that is because he comes to practice, and he busts, you know, his butt every single day, and then they have a game the next day, and then he's got to go out and play 37 minutes, and he is tired.
Okay, but
he is tired.
That's just the type of person he is.
And that makes him great, but at some point, the coaches have to get other people in the games to take away from that load. because you're not helping any of your big minute guys out by running them hard in practice every single day. Because obviously Coach Miller, well, you know, we've heard some rumblings about he's been pissed at the team in the last couple weeks and been very,
I've been pissed at the team.
I mean, he's been very tough in practice compared to at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
And when you've got guys running for mistakes, or you're making them stay, you know, extended time to work on things because as a team we're struggling, that's going to really have an impact on the team itself and the players' minutes and their fatigue.
We still need to give discipline. I mean, if people are messing up at practices and are missing the simple mistakes, they still need to be disciplined. That's not something I'm that worried about. I mean, Kellen has always been a pedal-to-the-floor kind of guy. He doesn't really have another setting either. He's going really, really extremely hard no matter the situation, if it's pickup ball somewhere or if it's in a Big East game. He's always going 100%. Not to say the practices are tiring him out, I don't know, but in the games when he is playing all those minutes before he didn't get those breaks, I did think that was what was really tiring him out. And then equals the forced shots and just throwing stuff up because he's fatigued.
His legs don't look like they're there at the end of games when we need him to make big shots. And you see a guy like Markel Starks, who had a couple big shots today to put us away. He had the three-pointer to send us to overtime when Georgetown was here. A guy like that's not playing the same amount of minutes that Kellen is, and he's able to elevate and make that jump shot at the end of the
game. Since they are about to turn off the lights in Hinkle, we're running out of time here. Last question of the day. Marco, do we finish above 500 this season?
I mean, I hope.
I don't want to say I hope. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Kevin?
I think we finish a game over.
No?
I want to be optimistic, but I really don't think we will. Like, what are we, 12-10 right now? 12-11?
We've got some winnable games down the stretch, and
there's not that many left.
We have another Seton Hall game coming up.
Yeah, we've got Seton Hall. We've got Providence at home. I know they've been tough, but I don't think that they've got the type of team to beat us in here. I think we'll beat Xavier. I think we'll finish over 500. The big thing is, if we have the opportunity, are we going to play in the CBI? Because
we might not make the CBI.
If we make the CBI,
that's demoralizing for this team.
We might look like Xavier and not make a tournament.
I can't insult Xavier right now. They're better than us.
Before we go, though, I do want to give a shout-out to former Butler player Andrew Smith.
Yeah.
We're all praying for you. Get well soon from all of us at the Hoopcast. And,
absolutely.
And obviously the Butler faithful is all behind you, so get well soon.
Thank you for watching episode 12 of the Front Row Hoopcast. Sorry for the break, but we are back and back for good. The lights are going out. Oh, no. Is this going to be in the blooper reel? All right. Well, Marco Tomich, Kevin Schwartz, I'm Ari Castle. From Hinkle Fieldhouse, IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.